Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
We're back here on the first team, Joe DeLeon, Ryan Roberts. We are doing our tight end rankings on today's show. We've done a few scouting report episodes. If you've missed those, make sure you go and check those out. But today we're going to be revealing our top five tight ends for the 2024 NFL Draft. Ryan, I got to admit, this grouping, I'm not sure if I was pleasantly surprised or underwhelmed. I don't think it was either. I think that it was, This is a very steady group. It's not one of the worst that we've seen, but it is certainly not as talented as the group that we had last year. The one thing I will say before we do get in these rankings, I feel like there's a lot of what ifs, a lot of guys that could play up to some potential and then really ascend. But other than that, I think we've got some talent that is yet to be actually brought to the field and been consistent enough yet.
I think that this is a low floor, high ceiling class is what I feel like this would, Joe. Because like if we ended the class today, I agree. I think that it is just like a sporadic class of a lot of what ifs. But the more I dig deep into this class, man, there's more really good athletes that I look at and say, I could see the trajectory. Like I'm going to have at least two on my list today that like are not there yet. But if they do get there with the athletic gifts that they have, they can be legitimate players in this class. So I'm actually pretty excited about this class, man. I think that there's a lot of players that are – there's not many blockers in this class. I'll put it like that. There's not many blockers in this class.
That is very true.
But there's a lot of good athletes in this class. So that tells me in the modern game, I think there's a few of these kids that could really develop into potential starters at the NFL level, or at least difference makers. Like I think there's a couple of guys that get really excited about in this class. So I'm actually kind of pumped about this top five, man. I actually am.
Before we continue on with this video, I just want to tell you folks about an exciting new partnership that we have with this channel, with Underdog Fantasy. Ever since I joined, I've been having so much fun. There are so many different exciting games that make watching games during the offseason more exciting. I'm not the biggest basketball fan, but it has made it way more entertaining since I found Underdog Fantasy. And my favorite game to play so far, which I think you should try out, is Pick'em. It is so easy to play. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite player stats, you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it simple. With their easy-to-use website and mobile apps, pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use code HACK, H-A-C-K, HACK, like the name of this channel. Use code HACK to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 by Underdog. Go sign up. You won't regret it. You're going to have a blast. Check out Underdog Fantasy. I also want to tell you folks about our other reoccurring sponsor that we have on this channel, that being BetOnline, betonline.ag, which has all the updated odds, news, and anything for sports betting. It's my go-to source for when I want to be betting specifically on games. I love betting on college basketball or the NBA, especially again during the offseason. Always looking for more fun ways to be focused in on some of these other sports. It's betonline.ag and use promo code BELIEVE50. It's promo code BELIEVE50 to get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So to throw out a little, already a very early wild card, I bet you didn't think that this name was coming your way at number five. Speaking of good athletes, Uh-oh. I have a number five, Ryan, Bryson Nesbitt from North Carolina. I was a really – oh, come on. Don't give me that sigh. Dude, I
– Oh, no. You're gonna hear why I sighed in a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, because you thought he was a surprise for you, didn't you? You thought that was going to be surprising.
He's my number four. Yeah.
I knew this was going to happen. Four. I thought I was so creative for finding him. And I was like, wow, this guy's great. So the thing with my thoughts on Nesbitt really quick, I was toying with the thought of maybe moving up him up ahead of Span Ford. That doesn't end up happening. I'll reveal in a second where exactly he is. You could probably guess he's at four. But Nesbitt at 6'5", 235 is really lean.
Uh-huh.
He sucks as a blocker. I'm not even going to.
Well, they don't use him as a blocker. They don't use him in that way. So, yeah.
Well, the thing is, they very clearly know that the times that they asked him to block, not only was he bad, but he was a liability. I watched my man get planted way too many times. However, I'm not really putting him onto the field for that reason. And it's clear that they were slow to work him onto the field into a bigger role until the end of the year. And I think maybe his role is going to be a lot bigger this upcoming season. What you do get is just a fantastic linear athlete. He accelerates so quickly. I also think that he's got a lot of nuance to his route running and his just ability to navigate traffic. I saw a guy that knew how to find paths in and out of small gaps and make really good, strong catches. His threat as a deep receiver and also as a yak guy, I think, is very significant. If he can just give me a little bit more as a blocker, a little bit more, I think he can take the next step. But for him to put up 500 yards last year and to be the third guy in the rotation that was rotated amongst this grouping of other dudes, I think the ceiling is super, super high for Bryson Nesbitt from North Carolina.
He's a freak, which is why I had him at number four. I mean, like, to your point, Joe, he's 6'5", 6'6", he's 245 pounds. Super lanky, though, man. Like, he could play a 260 easy. If he was anywhere near 240 last year, he could play a 260 without any issue, and he won't sacrifice any athleticism. To your point, he's a part of a three-headed tight end room. Kamari Morales is kind of their H-back number 88. He does a lot of, like, the split zone blocking stuff. And then they had number 81, who's a white tight end. I can't remember his name, but he plays more in line. He's more the blocker. He's fine. Yeah, exactly. This Bryson Nesbitt is a big slot right now. That's what he is. He plays in the slot. He has an incredible catch radius. I think he catches the football well also.
Yeah.
I think he's got pretty strong hands, and he is explosive, man. Like, if you put a linebacker or a safety on him one-on-one, it's going to be a long day because he can outreach basically any safety that you're going to put on him, and he can outrun any linebacker. He can outrun a lot of safeties that are going to be playing against him too. So, yes, this kid is a big slot, Kyle Pitts-esque type of tight end. You're not going to use him in line at all right now. And honestly, I don't even know if he's ever going to be a blocker because he's got kind of that thin lower half. I just don't know if he's going to be able to generate power. But having over 500 yards last year, to your point, in being a part of that tight end rotation, if he's more of the focal point, I think he could have a humongous year. I think he is kind of what we wanted Evan Engram to be, you know, like coming out of Ole Miss, like a little bit. He's kind of a similar, at least, style of football player, except I think that his ball skills are just better than what Evans were coming out of Ole Miss. So this kid could be the big riser of the group, as I put him at number four. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if this gets a top 50, top 100 pick, because I think he's going to test insanely well when all is said and done. So I have him at number four. Not to break this, Joe, because I knew that why do we have so many similarities this week? But I already know that you said you have Brevin Spanford at four. I have him at number five. Brevin Spanford is my five on this list. So we literally just flip-flop these guys.
Okay.
I really like the high floor of Brevin Spanford. He is 6'7". He's 260-plus pounds. He's a pretty good inline blocker, and I think that it's only going to improve as he continues to add weight to his frame and continues to play with better leverage. But I think he's a pretty flexible kid, moves well in the straight line, has some receiving chops, has a big frame, can catch the football well away from his body. Nothing dynamic necessarily, but like just a good player, man. Like at worst, I think he's a really good second tight end in a tandem. But if not, I think he could be a low-end starting tight end in the next level and have 40, 50 catches in a given season and a few touchdowns because he's got that massive frame. So I like Brevin for what he is. I don't think that he's a high upside pick. I think he's more of just good football player, which is why I edged in summer scouting Nesbitt ahead of him.
But I really just think that Brevin Spanford is going to be a good football player on the next level. Bryson Nesbitt, though,
is more of a swing.
He's kind of a more of a swing out there, right? Like Bryson could be very good, or maybe he's not coming into the NFL this year, right? Like Brevin Spanford is just going to be a good football player, in my opinion. Like there's not much variance of his valuation as we currently stand.
Right. The reason why I was like a little bit cautious on not going all in on Nesbitt is because he's a younger football player. Like he's not, this is his fourth year that he's now entering, but he hasn't played a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm misquoting that.
I think he's listed as a junior.
He's listed as a junior right now.
Yes. I was going to say, I think he was a third year player coming up here. I was looking up because we actually, one of our guys at RPN actually, they recommended him last season, kind of during his little bit of a breakout. So he was, he's a true junior this year. So he came in 2021. So he's a young cat, to your point. Very young.
And I almost wonder if he actually joins this class or not. But I think he's going to be a very explosive, troublesome tight end to deal with. Spanford for me is a little more of the, as you talked about, I think he's a little steadier. I got a guy that because he's 270, 6'7", I know at the very least I'm getting a really good blocker out of him. I know that I'm getting a guy who's going to step in. He's going to contribute as a blocker and develop into a good blocker because of the size. But he moves well for how big he is. I mean, he's almost built like a second offensive lineman. This isn't a Darnell Washington type size speed combination, but he moves well. He's got a nice frame. I think that he could be a jump ball guy in the red zone as well. So there's a lot of things to look up for with a Brevin Spanford and the impact that he can add to the game. So we've revealed our four and fives here.
Can I give you a cool note real quick on Nesbitt?
Go ahead.
Cool note on Nesbitt. Go ahead. His father, Jamar, was an All-SEC player at South Carolina and played 11 seasons in the NFL. So there you go.
I didn't know that.
He got some NFL bloodlines apparently as well. Yeah. Yep.
I didn't know that. I can kind of see that now that he's got that athletic family background. Number three for me, though, Ryan, was Jatavion Sanders from Texas. I think we're probably going to agree on this one just because of how we've lined up the Bowers, Jurasek path to where we're about to get here. But Jatavion Sanders, similar to Nesbitt, is not a good blocker, as we've discussed. I think that he's still a little bit, actually significantly better than Nesbitt. That's how bad Nesbitt is as a blocker. I just think that you can get him to figure out how to block, but he's not very mean. He's not very aggressive. You're never going to get a player who's just going to completely maul guys. He can contribute if you need to ask him to, which is, completely fine. At the same time, though, we know that he's a great linear athlete. He's somebody who's going to be able to stretch the seam. I don't think he's a super twitchy guy in terms of change of direction. He's not going to really explode in and out of his cuts. I think that he was a little slow sometimes on some of his cuts on his routes. But at the very least, I know that I'm getting a dangerous vertical threat, which is why he fits nicely at this number three spot for me.
I hate this week, Joe. I hate this week because we basically have the same exact list. This is so annoying.
I'm telling you right now, our lists are going to be closer and closer together. I'm just telling you that right now.
Because I'm rubbing off on you, right? I'm rubbing off on you.
Sure.
I also had Sanders at number three, former five-star recruit, obviously, at Texas. 6'4", 240-plus pounds. I think that he is a really densely put-together player. And honestly, when you first kind of take a look at him, we're number zero, I would kind of assume that he was a really good blocker just by his body type. He's a really physically well-put-together player. Doesn't use his physicality in that regard. He is a more of a, I'm going to get in the right spot and I'm not going to run my feet on contact and I'm not going to be overly aggressive. I think that there is some upside there, though. You just have to change a little bit of his just process as a blocker. Like his process needs to change a little bit because he's got physicality. He's got power. You know how I know? Every time he catches the football in a after catch situation, you see it. He breaks a ton of tackles. He's physical in short to intermediate routes. He can uncover from linebackers and safeties with his physicality in the passing game, and then he can break some tackles after the play. Good linear athlete. I think he can win down the football field. I think he can be a vertical seam stretcher. I think that he can do those types of things as well. I do think there are some limitations as far as it's a double-edged sword to a degree because the body type that he has allows him to be a physical player after catch, but it also limits his ability to get in and out of breaks consistently and be that guy that is going to create separation as a route runner. So I don't think he's a great route runner. I think he's going to be a really good seam runner. I think he's going to be an after catch guy, and I think he has developmental potential as a blocker. But to your point, blocking is not there yet. I think it can get there, but it's just a mentality approach that needs to change a little bit. So I like Sanders for who he is. I'm not as high on him as I thought I was going to be heading in to summer scouting, but still think he's a good player. I think he'll be a starting tight end in the NFL potentially.
Yeah, again, that's at the very least, I see Sanders being a really good second tight end that is a receiving threat. Somebody that is just used as like a really good option to stretch defenses. Maybe a team like the Kansas City Chiefs that like to have these vertically oriented tight ends if you want somebody who's similar a little bit to Travis Kelce, but not as good. Number two, who we both assuming we have, Benjamin Jurecek from Stanford. Don't sigh. I think it's a commendable thing.
Oh, actually, I brought Bowers at number two. So
stop.
I'm just kidding.
I would end this episode in a heartbeat if you slandered Brock Bowers' name, because I love Brock Bowers.
Is it really Joe? Is it really slandering if I'm just very high on Benjamin Jurecek? Is that slandering?
No.
Yes. Like, it I'm not saying Brock Bowers isn't great. I'm just saying Benjamin Jurecek is very good as well. That's all I'm saying. But yes.
Benjamin Jurecek on the last show that we did, which is the scouting report episode we did.
Yep.
I really highlighted why I was pleasantly surprised by him. Really good vertical athlete. I highlighted how I think that he plays the way that we hoped and assumed that Dalton Kincaid can be in the NFL. And I think that Jurecek's ceiling is higher. I think that he's a better football player coming out right now. If he did come out in the last class, I would have taken him over Dalton Kincaid. I think that Jurecek is explosive. And I also, the thing that I love that I didn't get with Dalton Kincaid is the willingness to block. He's not a strong guy, but he gets low. He loves to hit. He is not afraid of contact. I know that if I needed him to play in line, maybe bulk him up a little bit, work on his technique a little bit more, add a little bit more lower body strength, he can be impactful in both ways. But playing in this new offense for Stanford, his season, he is going to explode, I believe, this year. Put a stamp on that. That is going to happen this upcoming season. Benjamin Jurecek is going to be the biggest riser amongst this tight end group.
I think it's a good possibility, because I talked about this on the Benjamin Jurecek show, the section that Troy Taylor comes in as the former head coach of Sac State. And if you saw what he did with Marshall Martin over the last couple years, you feel pretty good about the possibility of getting Benjamin Jurecek involved. Because if you go back 2 years ago, Benjamin had 40-something catches. He had over 600 yards, 15 yards a catch. He looked like the next big thing type of thing for Stanford. This past year, 49 receptions, but only averaged 9.1 yards per catch. Stanford just really struggled to utilize him in the passing game. And I don't think it was his fault at all. I look at Benjamin Jurecek and I say, not the strongest build of all time, but it's developing. Got up to about 242 pounds. So he's steadily building on that frame. But this kid's a special athlete, man. This is the type of kid where I say, big slot, wing, could also throw him into the boundary at some points. I think he's that good of an athlete. I think he's going to be a 4-5 something type of athlete. He's incredibly explosive, gets up to his top gear. And he's flexible in and out of breaks, man. Like, I think there's more attention to detail that needs to happen as a route runner, you know, being a little more crisp at the top of routes. But he can get in and out of breaks easy, and he creates some instant separation. I think that he can win as an athlete. I think he can win as a route runner. Really, really talented football player who was also a great basketball player coming out of high school as well. So there's that all-around profile. I hope that Stanford is able to utilize him better this year, because I think that I agree with you. I think this kid is a mismatch weapon waiting to happen on the next level. I mean, pop on film, and even when Stanford was struggling to get in the football, like, you would see him get an end around and go 50 yards. Like, how many guys in college football are able to do that outside of Brock Bowers? Like, there's just not many guys that are able to do that. So I think Benjamin Jurecek is a special athlete. He took a step forward as a blocker in 2022. It was better. Still not perfect because he lacks power, but it's developing. It's developing. Good football player, man. Really good player.
Yeah, and again, my big thing with him is, as you talked about, normally when you see a guy that's not productive, there's usually like a reason for that. So like guys we watch this week, like Cade Stover and CJ Dupree, like they're not the most athletic. And there were just some games where defenses weren't covering them, so they were able to be productive. You willingly and noticeably see that Jurecek also, this is the big thing for me. So they not only did they not effectively scheme for him, but because it was the David Shaw run the football old school Stanford. It almost was like, you're a tight end at Stanford. We're just going to ask you to block and you got to figure it out. And that's how you're going to get on the field. We're not going to scheme you touches. If you get the football, you get the football. That's great. You're going to have a big game every so often. They asked him to play like an old school traditional NFL tight end role. And I think that as we change more and more to getting to that Dalton Kincaid, Travis Kelce type that these teams want and value, Jurecek this upcoming season playing in a more spread out offense, as you mentioned, is only going to enable him to be more productive. And that's why, again, I think that if things go according to plan, he could have one of the best seasons out of any tight end in college football behind our Lord and Savior Brock Bowers and be in the conversation at a very, very high level, eventually being that meteoric Dalton Kincaid type rise where he is a late first round pick.
Did you just say our Lord and Savior Brock Bowers? That's literally what you just said, man. That's
our Lord and Savior Brock Bowers. Dude, I love
my
that.
Lord and Savior.
That, all right, that's a good note to transition us here.
I need to say one more thing. I don't think it's unrealistic to think that there's a world where Benjamin Jurecek is an 800 plus receiver this year and he is a top 50 pick. I don't think that's unrealistic. That's all I was gonna add in there as we transition to Brock Bowers.
Look, I already said this about Brock Bowers, but I'm going to reiterate it. I am obsessed with Brock Bowers. I love Brock Bowers. I really think that when we're done watching all these players, maybe just in the summer and somebody emerges, but just that for summer scouting, I think that there is a strong possibility that Brock Bowers finishes as my top ranked prospect. He is that good of a football player. The immediate impact that he has had as a young guy, being a true junior, to bring the athleticism to his 6'4", 230-pound frame, to run in the rumored 4.3s, you see that on film. He is not only a great route runner and a great receiver, but he's also a guy that provides an impact after the catch because he's got some decent strength despite being only 230 pounds, and he's pretty shifty for his size as well. The last bit, as I've talked about here on the show with tight ends, you don't need to be a perfect blocker, but as long as you show me an intent, I can get behind that you're going to do a good enough job in the NFL to not be a consistent liability. He's much better blocking in the perimeter, but if I need him to block in line, I think I've seen a little bit of a capability for him to do so. And again, a willingness. The question is, do we add more weight to his frame or do we stick at this 230 number?
Yeah.
That's where things might get a little bit tricky.
Joe, you need to watch how you phrase some things, man, because you called him your Lord and Savior, and you just said you were obsessed with him as well. We're talking about a 20-year-old boy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's
all right, all right, all right, all right. You made it weird. You made it weird.
You made it weird.
No. You made it weird. That wasn't weird until you made it weird.
You made it weird. Look, Brock Bowers is what the modern NFL tight end looks like nowadays, right? I mean, you would like him in theory to be over 240 pounds. You don't want him to be 235. It's not the weights that you would prefer, but we talk about special traits. Special about Brock Bowers is that he's going to run in the 4.4s, I see, on film. I also think that he is one of the best accelerators at tight end ever. Like, not just that I've seen, ever. How many tight ends do you see, Joe, that you can throw a bubble screen to and he can break an angle as a after-catch player? There's just not many. Like, there's just Kyle Pitts, sort of. Like, there's just not many guys that are able to do what Brock Bowers can do as a pass receiver. So, short, intermediate, deep separator, works with speed. He's very nimble in and out of breaks. He has ability to win above the rim. He can win after the catch. And he tries hard as a blocker, and he's really good as an outside blocker, right? Like on perimeter screens and as a stalk blocker, like he's really good at that. But he also has effort in line. It's not good in line because he's 235 pounds, but it's passable is the point, right? This is a big slot, movable chess piece. I'm not drafting Brock Bowers to put his hand in the dirt 60 snaps a game. Not doing that. But as a guy that you're going to work in the slot, going to work in the boundary, motion him across, work as a wing, a lot of things you can do with this young man. He's a special athlete. Like, that's just where we are with this kid. Top 10 pick in the 2024 NFL draft, in my opinion.
And I believe I said this on the Brock Bowers scouting report episode, but I'm going to just bring this up if I have not.
Yep.
I think that Kyle Pitts, I am more willing to see Brock Bowers block. If a team like the Atlanta Falcons, where it's kind of like a square block in a round hole where you see them trying to use Kyle Pitts in line, and he's not going to be good at it. I think that at least if a team drafts him that is a little bit more desiring a throwback tight end, I think at the very least he could be good enough where he is not a liability like Kyle Pitts. That's why I'm so high on him. I think that if Kyle Pitts went as high as he did, Brock Bowers could potentially go should go equally as high in the top five.
It's possible. I think the one thing that Kyle had over Brock is that Kyle had a little bit more size as far as length, and he had growth potential, right? Like, he was 6'6 and 240 something pounds. So he's a little bit bigger, but I agree, Joe. I mean, this kid's going to be a top 5 to 10 pick. I think so.
Absolutely.
He's a special athlete. I mean, you can call him a wide receiver. You can call him a tight end. You can call him a pass catcher. That's probably what I'm going to call him most in this class, is a pass catcher. He's a guy that is there to make mismatches, and he does enough as a blocker that it's sustainable. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those players, and we know this is going to happen. There's going to be guys that overthink this. There are every single year. Some scouts on Twitter are going to say, I don't know, man. I don't know if he's quite as good as people act like he is. It's like, guys, there are some players every single year that are just an easy, easy evaluation. 2 years ago, it was Kyle Hamilton. Like, this past year, it was Will Anderson. This year, it's Brock.
Yes.
Like, it's just an easy evaluation. It just should not be much of a talking point. He's a really good football player. Move on to the next tight ends. That's where we are with Brock.
Don't overthink Brock Bowers, Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson. Or, oh my God, I've messed up. At Rising Draft. We'll be back with more.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.